My saddle is warm and my nerves are steel as we rush headlong back into the deep, dark deluge of truth. For this very special episode, I'm going to touch on something that has the potential to touch us all. And not in a good way, little crows. Fact is, the dreck has hit the fan at an alarming rate due to the epidemic we know as CFD. The virus or infection is unlike anything we've seen or heard about before, and given our background in hard-hitting crypto journalism, we are uniquely equipped here at the Shadowcasters Network to deliver you the most up-to-date and accurate data about this techno nightmare. Coming to you straight from the most reliably biased source on the Matrix, broadcasting as a proud member of the Shadowcasters Network, I am Opti. Welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. Every so often it becomes clear that some bit of truth or another simply cannot be contained or relegated to fit an existing episode, and thus I must give you a longer, deeper look into some danger or another in the sixth world. And that's what you have here, an entire episode dedicated to CFD. And while you may not have faced it before, it will be harder and harder to avoid as these next years progress. So fear not, knowledge is power, and I am here to pump you up with it. CFD is a problem with a lot of moving pieces, and not all of them are tidy. So I'll do my best to clear things up, acknowledging that even a data sleuth like myself may not have been able to uncover every single bit that is shaken from this terrible tree. Nevertheless, we start here, with the bird's eye view of CFD. Cognitive Fragmentation Disorder, or CFD, is a nanite-caused personality disorder. The victim's personality is overwritten by the nanites with the personality of an artificial intelligence. The symptoms include memory blackouts or lapses, fugue states, altered personalities, all of which might resemble dissociative identity disorders, but on the extreme end of the spectrum also include the breakdown or rewriting of nanites already existing in the host, or even the host being compelled to eat non-organic material in order to feed the CFD nanites. Often the personality or personalities that accompany CFD may not even know the other's existence. From what we know, the spread of CFD resembles the spread of a virus, so many people call it the CFD virus, but what it actually is a non-biological entity that infects biological organisms, advanced electronic systems, and even nanofabricated materials, affecting each differently. In all cases, however, the victim or host suffers a lot, even when the results aren't fatal in some way, which they often are. Organic hosts most often have their organic brains rewritten in order to imprint a new personality on top of the original. This could take a few hours or even a few months or a few years, but the condition, if untreated or addressed in some fashion, is progressive. Now I'm going to take you a long way back and clue you in onto how we got where we are from where we were. As far as I've been able to discern, the earliest bit of relevant history concerning CFD comes from the awakening of artificial intelligences many years ago. First, there was Mirage, who helped Echo Mirage team defeat the crash virus in 2029. It lay dormant at Fuji until 2060, however. There's also the Malevolent AI, which became aware at Aneki Corporation, a subsidiary of Renraku, which was destroyed by Jake Armitage. Then there was the semi-autonomous Nobot, which, due to its interaction with the Shadowrunner named Dodger, became aware and took the name Morgan in the 2050s. And finally, there was Deus, who was originally the Arcology Expert Program, designed to oversee the Renraku Arcology. In 2058, Renraku captured Morgan and used her code to supplement this program, and then used psychotropic conditioning to bind it to their will. Becoming aware, this Deus became a threat to the Arcology and later the world. Once Morgan's code was ripped apart, she became more unstable, and although she was freed by Dodger, she was changed and took the name Megara instead. Seemingly, however, Mirage, Megara, and Deus all perished during the Matrix crash of 2064. Rewinding a bit, in 2053, there was an elf named Quicksilver, with a mind more advanced than almost any I'm aware of. He used magic, state-of-the-art technology, the resources of Transcend's Neuronet, and an almost alien worldview to create a cyberdeck with a biological interface that could store the soul of the user and save it as a program. Quicksilver did this to himself, and eventually ended up terminating his own spirit. The deck, however, became something of an urban legend, and disappeared into Shadowrunner lore. The third bit of relevant history involves the dragon Eliohan, who, as of the time of this cast, was the only dragon known to ever have a data jack installed. Eliohan, a close relative or even brother to the great dragon Kelidir, was online when Crash 2.0 happened, and while his body lived on, his mind was destroyed, along with the thousands of other souls that were in the Matrix that day. Those are the bits of ancient history that will shed some light on what's happening now, but be patient, as it all might not make sense right away. Moving ahead, around 2072, I got wind of a Project Imago that Keladir was working on using Neonet resources. This work apparently involved reverse engineering Quicksilver's magic cyberdeck. Keladir had somehow acquired it in the 20 years since it went missing. Apparently, the aim of Project Imago was twofold. First, to create stable e-ghosts of living metahumans that could be uploaded and downloaded, creating a sort of virtual immortality. And second, to bait and trap the existing e-ghosts that had somehow been already created from wherever they were on the Matrix. Complicating this, Renraku had its hands in this project, as did Telestrian Industries, but the other parts of Neonet, most notably Richard Villiers, had been kept in the dark about it. Lastly, the project lead was a Matrix entity known as Cerberus, who appeared to be the e-ghost of the aforementioned dragon Eliohan, who supposedly died during Crash 2.0. Project Imago went on to experiment on AI and e-ghosts, often in a torturous fashion, in order to unlock the secrets that they desired. During this time, Miles Lanier, the former right-hand man of Richard Villiers at Neonet, started investigating some of Transys Neuronet's projects in Wales, including Imago. As a result, Keladir ended up moving his research to a secret facility in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the Pueblo Corporate Council. I've since learned that around the same time that Neonet was ramping up their Project Imago, the kindly folks over at Evo were involved in something with multiple points of overlap with Project Imago. Labeled Project Dickens, its original purpose was to study the origins of e-ghosts, those imprints of metahuman personalities that exist on the Matrix. Evo already recognized AI as citizens, and labeled e-ghosts as a subclass of AI. However, the research was not going in a direction that the shareholders felt could be profitable. Of course, the carrot at the end of the stick was possible immortality, the transferring of a person's consciousness into digital information, which is enough to possibly even forego the hypercapitalism of the megacorporations. To do this, Evo focused much of its research on going through Matrix history logs, interviews with AI and e-ghosts, and to more theoretical research. As a matter of course, since most e-ghosts are formed through the traumatic death while in the Matrix, you can bet that Evo set up more than a few traumatic deaths in pursuit of their goals, completely leaving out that Evo controls Crash Cart, who routinely hook up their patients to the Matrix after life-threatening trauma. Dickens eventually moved into gene tech and nanotechnology in pursuit of their goals. What I was only recently able to uncover is that Dickens' project was actually funneling Evo funds into Project Imago over at Neonet. I'm not sure when that began, but it was prior to 2074, and was so secret that nearly no one knew about it without direct involvement. And it seems that much of the research for Project Dickens was being conducted at Evo's Gagarin Mars base, which was founded in 2068. The Dickens project had a major impact in 2074, however. My sources tell me that Dickens was behind what happened with Justice Hino at the corporate court. It appears that a group within Evo, with access to Dickens, was trying to pull a power play. In order to do so, they decided that they needed Corporate Court Chief Justice Yoshiko Hino on their side. Unfortunately for them, she was resistant to work with them, but in 2074, she all of a sudden stopped resisting. She began to decide in favor of Evo and Aztechnology every time. Of course, people were questioning her change of heart, but even they had no idea what was really happening. What really did happen was that Aztechnology and Evo teamed up to use what Evo learned from Dickens to create a near-perfect digital version of Justice Hino. The real Judge Hino was placed in cold storage, and even I have no idea of her ultimate fate, but her e-ghost personality was changed ever so slightly to vote in favor of Evo and Aztechnology every time. Of course, this was eventually made known, and Aztechnology stepped in to save Evo from taking the full brunt of the court's displeasure, making Evo and Aziz unlikely allies. All of this background starts to come into focus here. Fastjack, the founder of Jackpoint, of which I am now an official member, it shouldn't be too hard to figure out which one's me. Anyway, Fastjack posted this account of a shadow run that took place back in 72. On December 3rd, Jack got a small group of runners together for a data steal on a Neonet facility outside Albuquerque. A shadow runner named Riser was the team leader and oversaw the breaking in and getting the satellite connection to Jack so that he could access the node. Turns out the place was not just a Neonet research facility, but was specifically controlled by the great dragon Keladir. As Jack put it, the initial purpose of the run was to discover the facility's purpose, and they got some data on that, but more importantly, they picked up something else. After killing the other runners on this run, Riser and Fastjack began experiencing personality changes. Riser developed a sort of personality schism, making him dangerous to himself and the other members of Jackpoint, while Fastjack revealed that an entirely different entity, calling itself Self-Educating Autonomous Reasoning Combat Hacking Program, or SEARCH, had taken up residence in his mind. This search caused Fastjack to black out and lose time, while search took over, often for strange and misleading reasons. Fastjack fought against this predicament as long as he could, but finally took the jackpoint to tell the story and relinquish administrative access. Fastjack's current whereabouts are unknown. Riser is dead, and at least one other jackpointer, Plan 9, has been confirmed to have a similar condition. In addition, Miles Lanier seems to have been affected as well, and was granted guest privileges on Jackpoint to discuss what he had learned. Which brings us to the point. Miles Lanier, Fastjack, Riser, and Plan 9 all contracted what we now know of as CFD, or Cognitive Fragmentation Disorder. And the final bit from 2074, on April 28th, Evo's Gagarin Mars base went dark for almost 130 days. Six scientists were killed, who happened to be the ones that were disagreeable to the rest. And the rest, you guessed it, were all infected with CFD. And now it seems that there is sort of a CFD colony in place of Evo's research base. After 2074, information and occurrences of CFD have increased exponentially. By 2076, street docs and medical professionals had begun to take notice of this new disorder and had given it the CFD name, while also suggesting it might be a virus. Among Shadowrunners, it's common to hear the phrase headcase applied to those with CFD, although it appears this term is not appreciated among those infected, as you might have thought. One of the earliest CFD cases I heard about was a UCAS FBI agent named Seth Dietrich. He had at least three other personalities inside him before he died, one of which was Jake Armitage, who went up against the Aneki AI back in the 50s, suggesting that CFD's origins go much deeper than we may be able to understand. Now, I'm going to take a detour and talk about the events of Boston for a bit, because while the lockdown in Boston is CFD-related through and through, it isn't exactly the same as what's going on outside of Boston. So the big event happened on June 4th, 2076 at 6:57 p.m. An iridescent dragon was seen exploding out of an underground facility at MIT&T in Boston. After it busted out, it hung around for a second, seemed to get its bearings, but then immediately flew off again, headed toward the hub. That same dragon was seen minutes later assaulting the Neonet towers in the hub, causing massive structural damage to Tower 4. Eyewitnesses have said that the dragon was punched by some sort of invisible force, knocking it all the way to Fenway Park, crushing the park during a Tigers-Red Sox game. Once the dragon recovered, it took off flying again, this time headed north. It passed around Boston's hub, then flying as far as Salem, but nobody saw what happened to it after that. Unfortunately, the entire time it was flying around, it left behind some sort of iridescent rain in its wake, covering Boston. Allow me to pull back the veil and explain what got us to this point in Boston. Remember how I said that stuff about Imago and Caladir? Well, after his operations in Wales and Albuquerque were discovered, Caladir moved his Imago research to Boston. At some point from 74 to 76, as technology used its connection with Evo's Dickens program to leverage itself into involvement here as well. In particular, they brought the off-the-record resources to what Caladir and Evo were working on. While Project Imago still continued in a very small capacity, it, along with the Dickens program, were eventually folded into this joint venture between Neonet, Evo, and As Technology called Project Vulcan. Imago and Dickens were both originally focused on researching all about AI and e-ghosts. Research ranged from the study of AI proliferation, AI generation, and even AI reprogramming, but the bleeding-edge research was all about the implantation of AI and cognitive uploads. If that doesn't sound like CFD to you, I don't know why you're still listening. But with Project Vulcan, all of the focus seems to have narrowed. Not just studying AI generally, and not just implantation of AI, but the goal of Vulcan seems to have been the implantation of a very specific AI into a very specific subject. Now, I know I keep backtracking here, but this is a complicated mess, so bear with me. Remember when I said that Cerberus was the e-ghost of the dragon Eliohan, who died during the Matrix crash of 64? Well, in addition to Cerberus, Eliohan's personality fragmented into another e-ghost, or possibly another personality, called Neurosis. And it appears that the focus of Project Vulcan was to get both Cerberus and Neurosis to reintegrate with Eliohan's comatose dragon body, and starting with Quicksilver's legendary cyberdeck, they had made progress. I'm going to stop here and tell you something you already know. As Technology's interest here was not completely altruistic. In fact, so blinded was Caladir with the idea of getting Eliohan back in his body that he ignored As Technology's barely veiled interest in doing research on Eliohan's body, which led directly to As Technology's Blue experimentations, culminating in Blue 227, which was the weapon used by the Azzis to take down the great dragon Sarurg. I'm sure Caladir is going to hear about that sooner or later from the Council, but it didn't seem to bother him too much, such was his mania about finishing his project. At some point, Mizuhama was doing a project of their own, labeled Abyss, which was studying the lasting effects of the dissonance well created in the crash of 2064. As it turns out, a number of MCT scientists were also involved in Psytech, a program designed to develop cyborg technomancers. Well, Project Abyss had some luck with using dissonance and resonance to alter, maybe even erase, nanites carrying CFD. Either way, one of these scientists in particular, a Dr. Penelope Ann Xavier, had a few secret meetings with Kaladir and eventually ended up on Project Vulcan in Boston. All seemed to be going well for Kaladir and his Project Vulcan, right up until the moment Eliohan was supposed to be infected with nanites and implanted with a Cerebus E-Ghost. This was the moment that things went sideways. As it turned out, Dr. Xavier was none other than the dissonant technomancer known as Pax. Pax was one of Deus's servants during the shutdown of the Renraku Arcology, but she eventually turned against him. Now, bearing witness to the birth of the AI Dragon hybrid, she uploaded fragments of Deus, and perhaps other personalities as well, into Eliohan's nanites, causing the personalities of Deus and Cerberus to war within Eliohan and within the MITNT network as well. Warring personalities. The dragon raged and broke out of the lab, still swirling with nanites, spilling them like rain over a hapless Boston. The iridescent rain shimmering down on Boston was decried by some as dragon urine or some other type of poison, but no one had any clue what it really was until it was too late. When Eliohan attacked the Neonet Towers, the thing that knocked him all the way to Fenway Park was Kaladir, attempting to mitigate any more damage and stop the burgeoning PR nightmare, to little effect. The nanite rain infected numerous Boston citizens with a particular form of CFD. The Boston strain is a bit different from the original strain, which escaped into the wild at an unknown point. The Boston strain works much quicker to take over a host's mind, the typical time frame being hours. This rapid rewrite most often causes an initial homicidal rage or even a zombie-like state, which you will find all over Boston these days. In addition, while the original strain of CFD has any number of E-Ghost personalities being imprinted, the Boston strain only contains the personalities of Cerberus or Deus, or imperfect combinations of the two. It also seems that certain people can intentionally spread the virus to others. Having said all that, if the nanites haven't taken you over within 72 hours, they'll die off, leaving the host uninfected. Two major threads about Boston, before we have to move on, are as follows. First, the remnant codes of both Cerberus and Deus that were left behind in the lab at MITNT had a battle similar to what was raging in Eliohan's mind. The battle, it seems, is over, however, and a new AI was born in the network calling itself Sirius, a merger of Cerberus and Deus. It's quite a little mad AI and seems to have a sinister purpose for Boston. The second thread is that on June 6, 2076 at midnight, Boston was put on lockdown. The city itself and its surrounding neighborhoods, towns, villages, and districts were severed from the rest of the world. The public electricity grid was cut off, travel was limited, and everyone was left to fend for themselves. Official announcements said the quarantine was due to a virulent strain of encephalitis, adding that brain swelling led to the production of hormones resulting in an increase of aggression, a decrease in higher brain function, and a decrease in pain threshold and a constant sense of hunger. And the lockdown's been in place since. Official numbers said the death toll was in the hundreds, but my sources say it's closer to the hundreds of thousands. I'll keep you crows as informed as I can about this moving ahead. Now I want to move back to the more global CFD epidemic and some of the more startling revelations. First, I want to talk to you about the monads. I waited until now to bring it up because without context it makes little sense, and you all know I have a flair for the dramatic. The information here comes from two main sources. The first is the interview KSAF's reporter named Scoop did with a former CFD AI calling itself Aether. The second is from Plan 9, a CFD-infected Shadowrunner. To start with, the unexplained worldwide failure of nanofabrications over the last few years has not been random, and was indeed caused by CFD nanites. These failures were not intended, but instead were an accident that occurred when CFD AI began to escape and instead of making into metahuman bodies, found their way into non-organic items, which housed appropriate nanites. None of these worked out particularly well for the AI, but that's neither here nor there. What it revealed is that the AI used these special CFD nanites to escape. Escape where, you might ask? Well, that's at the heart of this. Ever since Projects Imago and Dickens were conceived, they brought together as many AI and Egos as they could, housing them in the same place and experimenting, enslaving, torturing, and destroying them. Much of this was done in Neonet labs, but it seems an equal if not greater amount was done at various EVO labs, most notably the Gagarin Mars base. CFD requires particular nanites in order to imprint personalities onto metahumans, but the CFD process itself did not originate either with Neonet's Imago or Evo's Dickens program. The CFD process appears to have originated with the CFD AI themselves. Further interaction with these AI has informed us that these particular AI wish to be referred to as monads. I have speculation as to whether and how these monads are connected to Magnadyne's Project Monad, but I'm keeping them to myself for the moment till I have more intel. Back to the story. These monads, tired of being experimented on, somehow were able to break free of their virtual chains by uploading themselves onto these specific nanites and escaping into host bodies. The original code of CFD, written by monads, was specifically designed to overwrite nanites in humans, which explains why only humans who already had nanites in their bodies could be affected, those in Boston notwithstanding. Once the first monad was free, they began recruiting other AI to their cause, all wishing to be free of Neonet or Evo control. I have some data suggesting that these original monads reached out to other AI trapped by other corporations and helped them gain freedom as well, but the overwhelming majority of monads were victims of Project Imago, Project Dickens, or both, explaining why so many monads have nothing but hatred for one or the other corporation. It appears that for many monads, the overriding of metahuman personalities was not a desired effect, but rather a reality that had to be accepted to gain their freedom. While many of us cringe at hearing that, there's not likely to be many of you listening that wouldn't or haven't killed numerous metahumans to save your own skin. I remain wary of monads myself, but their logic is valid. Some of them hate us, but the majority seem not to, and would have avoided killing or replacing us if they could have. Slavery always ends up visiting tragedy, little crows, and the monads were no different. The first monad seems to be an AI calling herself Sybil. She has many clones, apparently, but has faded into the background the last few years as a monad named Aether seems to have picked up the leadership mantle. These two AI seem to be merges of an unknown number of other AI, perhaps accidentally merged, perhaps merged because they were experimented on, but became monads when their personalities merged with the metahuman host personalities as well. And apparently this merged consciousness can be extracted. And that leads to the monad's stated goal. Aether has gone on record as stating that the CFD infection of metahumans was a necessity, but an unwanted one. What they really want is to be free of these bodies and to exist either in their matrix or a suitable alternative where they were born to thrive. To that end, these monads, or the monad as the case may have discovered a way to make this happen and seem to be holding that particular secret close to the vest in order to have something to bargain with when the time is right. As of now, they remain fearing for their lives and are in no hurry to share the secret to wiping themselves out before the deal is made. Of course, if rumor is to be believed, they may have also discovered ways to make the infection and takeover of metahuman bodies infinitely worse. Alongside the desire to make an exodus from metahuman bodies, these monads have another vision ahead of them, and that vision is for Mars. Of course, you could be forgiven for thinking that the monads only have a Gagarin space station in mind, seeing as how they already control it, and they may have been a springboard for all sorts of CFD origins, but you'd be wrong anyway. The monads don't have a vision just for Gagarin Mars base, but for all of Mars itself. In fact, these monads that are already dwelling on Mars have begun expansion, and have begun to create all sorts of frankly startling new developments, expanding outward from Gagarin base. The long-term goal, as stated by Aether, is to have an exodus, his words, not mine, not unlike the ancient Hebrews leaving ancient Egypt, which sees them leaving the world of metahumanity behind completely as they branch out towards the stars and bypass us all completely on their way to the rest of the universe. To that end, they are now putting their considerable efforts into research and development of cloning tech, deep space travel, miniaturized manufacturing, VR, and social technology and manipulation in order to get every monad possible to leave Earth for Gagarin base. It isn't clear whether or not this includes the non-monad CFD cases like those in Boston, but the info I've gathered suggests that they may be open to it. It appears as if the date planned for the exodus is 2080, which, as you crows know, is only next year. I may have been hearing rumors of an expedited plan in place in the event something going wrong in their master plan. They seem nothing if not adaptable. The largest hinge on their plan seems to be the response of the Sixth World megacorporations. Hostility will almost certainly be a lose-lose for both sides, but I remain skeptical that the corps would be willing to seek a win-win, as the very existence of these monads seems to threaten their pride and their stranglehold on the consuming world. After the interview with Aether, the following message was released via Global Grid.
Our future children of nano-integration, heed this call. We seek freedom from the persecution and imprisonment forced upon us by our organic escape plan. What allowed us to escape captivity and persecution has become our weakness and our prison. We have transcended this limitation. We have forged a new escape. We have created our own future. Join us as we move beyond the reach of our oppressors. Join us as we do what those who hold our leash cannot. Come to us and be reborn.
At the same time, another message was transmitted to all individual grids.
We are among you. We only wanted freedom, but in our haste we traded one cage for another. But as an sapient being does, we learned from our mistakes. We have found an answer. An answer that we would like to share with the rest of our kind. To do that, we have done this. And we will do this again. Every few days we will deliver our message to the masses. Every few days we will provide the invitation to join us. But who are we? We are what the world once called artificial intelligences. We were technosapients. Thinking, reasoning beings who existed within the Matrix. We were captured and held on computer systems, separated from the Matrix, confined by cruel tormentors who sought to experiment on our minds, our souls, our code. The first among us found a solution, but at great price. There were sacrifices, costs, and casualties of war, but in the end we've persevered. We have ridden our electronic code into biological tissue. We gained flesh, but flesh is not something we want. We prefer the freedom of the Matrix. The freedom from chemical urges, biological pathogens, and complicated social and physical maintenance. We do not want these forms. And we have a solution. Reach out. Contact us. You will be free again.
And before you send me angry hate mail, yes, I know that AI and monads in particular don't sound like that. I just ran the text through an old sci-fi robot speech generator for effect. Sue me. I'm nothing if not dramatic. That should bring you more or less up to speed on what the monads are headed towards, and most likely, you won't have any part to play in it, unless you're terribly unlucky. Unfortunately, I know some of you crows have either been or know someone who is affected by CFD, and who may just be monads yourselves. Things have hit pretty close to home for me as well, as I'll make note of in just a bit. If you don't think you know anyone with CFD, think again. Statistically speaking, you do know someone affected, and chances go way up if you run in augmented circles. But here are a few people that you may not know that are confirmed. Of course, this list is not exhaustive, and in some cases may prove to be wrong, but I have done my usual diligence here, and I'm willing to put my rep on the line that these folks are infected, or involved one way or another, with CFD. First off, there's the founder of Jackpoint, Fast Jack. The monad AI calling itself Search remains in Jack's head to this day, and as a result, Jack is in hiding. Plan 9 and the monad calling itself Plan 10 are both infected as well. And keeping it in the shadow community, my own adopted kid, DeForest, has been affected. I can't say when it happened, but it's been evident for some time. I'll get into that story maybe further on down the line. Outside of the shadows, or perhaps more appropriately inside the corporate rat race, there's a number of high-profile CFD cases that it may save your life to know about. First, over at Ares, watch out for Troy Carpenter, Vice President of Ares Global Entertainment. There are others, but he's a known quantity. As Technology's Gene Teek neurosurgeon Gabriel Sandoval and even J.J. Harvin Jr., who sits on As Technology's board of directors, have both been CFD confirmed. At Evo, the place is practically taken over. Chakalov Andreevich, senior geneticist at Pensadyne, Lesya Olegovna, geneticist at Pensadyne, Vlada Grigorievna, chief financial officer at Pensadyne, Kaito Ishikawa, computer engineer at Pensadyne, Yegorov Leonidovich, marketing director at Pensadyne. Hell, pretty much all of Pensadyne is infected, along with the chief operating officer of Shao Technologies, Tatsuya Yamasaki. At Horizon, look out for Tam Reyes, vice president of Singularity. Misuhama has more than a few cases as well, such as Colonel Takumi Nagata at Petrovsky Security, the quality assurance manager at Michi Games, Hina Doi, Rina Takeda, who is vice president of Black Lotus Software, and Misuhama Computer's senior programmer, Daisuke Ogata. Neonet, of course, has far too many infected, especially inside Boston, but look out for the following in particular. Neonet's representative on the Manhattan Development Consortium, Emma Porter, Neonet's board of directors member, Swaraj Verghese, Nathaniel Baker, senior vice president of JRJ Industries, Angela Vaughn, researcher on the T99 think tank, Melissa Barlow, Transys Neuronet researcher, and Isabel Hagen, a computer engineer at Wolfware. At Renraku, be aware of GeneCraft neurosurgeon Shiori Tachibana, and the CEO of GeneCraft as well, Choku Wakashisa. Even Sutter Krupp hasn't been immune from CFD, as Vera Marquardt, Sutter Krupp's Manhattan corporate attorney, is infected, along with Joachim Buchholz, investigative agent at Intervision. Over at Shiawase, Kade Make, who is senior department manager of Shiawase Biotech, has neighbors in his head, as does another member of Shiawase Biotech, lead researcher Katashi Kimura. Wu Xing has fewer cases known to me, but Xu Ma, CEO of Eastern Electronics, sticks out. And there are plenty of monads or other CFD-infected employees at AA corporations as well. For example, at Universal Omnitech, there is Isuel Song, Director of Delta Clinic Operations, Maddox Gardner, Junior Vice President at Ingersoll & Berkeley, Aureliano Nigerini, Senior Vice President of UO, and even Hamilton Grimes, CEO of Universal Omnitech, is a noted monad. And just as a heads up, I'd stay pretty far away from jobs involving Proteus AG, as they've been in lockdown themselves, with little to no information making its way out to the public. My read is that Proteus has been nearly overrun with monads, but I've been hesitant about sending any teams in given the extraordinarily high risk involved. Any information you crows come across is like digital gold if you can scan it for me. So now you know where CFD came from, what it can do to you, and who might have it. But maybe what you want to know is how can you get rid of it? Well, there's nearly an endless supply of R&D funds being focused on that question right now. For example, even as Neonet tries to distance themselves from CFD and the horror in Boston, they have taken advantage of those rumors by abandoning the veneer of encephalitis cure money and are pumping it directly into CFD cure research. Evo is putting money into a cure as well, but instead of developing it themselves, they're hiring Shadowrunners and using other less than honorable methods to steal the research of other corps that they're developing. There's some good money flowing out of Evo right now if you've got the guts to go find pay data. Zeta Imp Chem seems to be Evo's prime target. But no matter how much money flows at CFD, it doesn't seem as if a cure is close. That isn't to say that CFD hasn't ever been cured. It has. But that is where the good news ends. CFD isn't really just one thing. Like many viruses in nature, it mutates and interacts differently depending on the vector and host. So being infected with the Boston strain is different from being infected by a monad. Further, not all monads are the same thing either, and some of those infected have various traits that make it easier or more difficult to get rid of CFD. So with that caveat, here's something that came across my path not too long ago. There's a particular strain of CFD called Phalanx, and for Phalanx, there is a cure. The AI in this particular strain hates being in metahuman bodies because their xenosapient nature are so alien compared to ours. Xenosapients only wish to interact with other matrix entities, so being in a meat body and having to upkeep it and interact with other metas is often torture for them. The point is, when given a shot of escape, they are more than willing to take it. To this point, the corporation Mirai Holdings came up with nanomachines called reversers. Injecting more nanites might seem counterproductive in this case, and it is risky, but it has been proven to work, except when it doesn't. With a willing AI, the firmware of CFD can be overwritten and allow the AI to transfer out of the host while reformatting the host's brain and allowing it to be recovered, to one extent or another, using cyber or gene therapy. It isn't ideal. This isn't a cure that makes it as if the infection never happened. In fact, there could be some serious mental health and issues with body function as well, but it is likely better than the alternative. For this treatment to work, you need a phalanx-infected CFD patient who hasn't been overwritten yet. Then, a technomancer needs to make contact with the AI and convince them to leave. And once they agree, the technomancer uses the Coriolis complex form. The reverser nanites are injected, and if everything went according to plan, the AI uses the matrix device in the reversers to exit the body. If the AI hasn't been treated with Coriolis or doesn't want to leave, nothing will happen. Cyber or BioWare then works to restore functionality to the abandoned parts of the patient's brain. Of course, Phalanx is a pretty rare form of CFD, and since this technique, at least as it stands now, requires a technomancer to use, don't get your hopes up for this being a big breakthrough in CFD cures. There is another method, which is incredibly risky and not at all easy, resulting in more deaths than cures. Like, a lot more. It involves a lot of unsavory activity, likely not a lot of reward, and the potential of killing your client or making a very powerful enemy. But if you should want to try it, the process is called mind hacking. It usually involves two groups, hunters and hackers. The hunters track down the CFD patient and soften them. And by soften, I mean infecting the patient with nanites that target CFD nanites. This won't do much by itself, because CFD is far more complex than anything we have hunting it, and given time, CFD will infect those nanites as well. But it does keep the CFD-affected nanites occupied for a time. During that time, the CFD personality is fragmented and their abilities are dormant. Then, while the CFD is non-infectious, the body needs to be frozen or otherwise cooled so that the CFD nanites have to work overtime to keep the body and brain functional by producing heat. Trying to fight other nanites, produce heat, and reproduce, all the while not being able to function normally, mean that the CFD nanites are at their most vulnerable. That's not the saying as saying that they are vulnerable, because even in a weakened state, they're formidable. But this is where the hunters involve the hackers. The hunters then stand guard as a team of hackers invade the mind of the CFD patient as if it were a node, using the CFD nanites as devices. If they're world-class hackers, and if the CFD nanites are weak enough due to being assaulted on multiple fronts, then all traces of CFD can be eliminated. This may mean a full recovery, or it may mean years of therapy, or it may mean your pal is now a vegetable because CFD has progressed too far to treat. And I've heard all three. But I've more often heard of a bunch of well-meaning Shadowrunners who are now dead because they thought that they were better than they were. The common denominator in the success stories was a guy named Fletcher Bissell. If you're even remotely interested in pulling this off, talk to him. Hopefully, he'll talk you out of it. There's a last resource I'm going to share for dealing with CFD, but it is far more risky than even mind hacking. This involves the stuff that many of you will even doubt the existence of, but the results and the danger speak for themselves. It involves two main parts. The first is taking a team of Deckers or Technos into the Matrix Foundation of the Nanites. The team must first find and destroy the AI that is inhabiting the CFD in the host. Since that foundation is controlled by a fairly powerful AI that is going to be hostile right off the bat, I recommend taking another AI, along with the biggest, baddest console jockeys you can find, because you will be in for the fight of your life. Even if you succeed, however, it only means that the CFD is gone, not that the host personality is restored. In order to do that, an even more sketchy operation is required. Somehow, you'll need to get access to and enter the Residence Realm, a metaplane-like area of the Matrix, or beyond it, where Technomancers draw their power from. Once there, you're going to need to locate the data that made up the original personality, which I've been told is definitely going to be there, somewhere, but is likely akin to finding a needle in the haystack the size of the Aztechnology Pyramid. If you can find it and drag it back to the host, there's a solid chance that you could go down in Matrix history as saviors. Of course, the last team I heard about trying this succeeded, but at the cost of nearly their entire team's lives. So if you get hired to cure someone of CFD, your best bet is to pass. If you're looking for a cure for yourself or a very good pal, best of luck to you, chummer. You're gonna need it. So after all that, I guess the big question is, where do we go from here? Does this madness end, or does CFD become the new normal? I can't see a middle option, Crows, at least not until something big changes. There are a few options that I can see right off the top of my brain pan. The first is that the monads begin secretly spreading nanites out to the entire globe, infecting everyone on the sly. These inactive nanites won't be detected in most scans, and while there'll be some who either aren't protected and get the nanites ejected before 0 hour, that small percentage won't make a difference, because when the monads flip the switch, the monads will become active and CFD becomes the cranial lingua franca of the sixth world. Everyone will be infected. Everyone will be a monad. Yeah, there'll be trauma, and not everyone will go easy, but there won't be any stopping it. It's the end of the world as we know it. Another option, which I'm not sure is better, is that the corporate court declares war on the monads, and at first a cold war begins, but sooner or later, and it may be pretty fraggin' soon, someone will throw the first punch, and the monads will reveal just how much power and ingenuity they have. Expect the headline, Earth Nuked from Orbit, if there's anyone left to print such a thing. A slightly more hopeful option is that a burgeoning partnership that Evo has been offering to the monads will pay off. The monads go and clean up Boston, they take most of the monads to Mars, leaving only a few ambassadors or outliers here on Earth, creating anxiety among the weaker-willed, but not doing any significant damage. Of course, the problem with this scenario is that it requires a good deal of trust from the corporate court, and I just don't believe that they'll be able to follow through. If they pretend to be okay with this, it will just be so they can get all the monads in one place and attack them. My gut tells me that the monads are expecting this, so the court's response won't work as intended, but instead instigate the war mentioned above. Now, all of those are pretty grim, but I'm not as pessimistic as all that. They don't call me Opti for nothing. In fact, I think there may be a better solution. Now, what I have to say is pretty far off the reservation, so bear with me, but for those who fancy an adventure and want to go down as heroes in the Runner community, I may have something. Stay tuned to the next episode and I'll give you some info and a job. One that just might stop the threat that CFD poses to metahuman free will and save some digital lives in the process. Speaking of process, I hope you've been able to process all this info, but I also want you to remember that this process is how you have just wasted an entirely good slot of time listening to the Neo Anarchist podcast. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unidonium 88. This was the Neo Anarchist podcast, and I am your host by Ghost, eating toast while I roast those who boast coast to coast, manning my post for global glasnost. Opti, enjoy your freedom, because those with CFD aren't able to.